This is iRock with Rockstars, hosted by Ryan from iRock 93.5.
We're officially recording, so welcome. Nothing more.
Hey.
All right, I asked this with Sleep Theory, but I'm going to ask it again here. I'm assuming you know all their names, but we should still learn everybody's name. I'm Ryan. Hi.
Hi, Ryan.
You forgot from 2 hours ago.
I'm Ben.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Johnny.
And I'm Mark.
And together they are...
Nothing More. Power
Rangers. See, he got it right. cool. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in and joining us. I mean, I know the road is, it's a place. How has it been going out on the road during this tour?
Really good. I was telling you earlier, the whole day I thought we were in Omaha. And so we were driving here. I was looking at things and I was like, I don't remember Omaha looking like this. So yeah, good to know that we're not in Omaha. That's tomorrow. Being on the road is kind of like a time warp. Like you wake up in different places and sometimes you're confused where you're at, but, it's been, it was a beautiful drive here and happy to be here. Did anybody see us last time we were here? All right.
Nice.
Yeah. Good to see you again.
So now you all get to see him again.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like since last time you were here, you've been on the road a lot. Obviously, you got into the studio a bit. You made some new music. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I mean, in general, from a road standpoint, I mean, what are you guys doing when you're out there? That's always a question. When you're not on stage, when you're not making the music, what are you doing to stay sane and remember that you're not in Omaha?
Definitely varies person to person. You know, we all have our sanity sort of habits or routines that we do for sure. I'm a big video game guy, so it's like start my day with a good hour or hour and a half of like gaming and then kind of get into the routine, go to sound check. And then after that, like a good friend of mine is from the area. He's coming out. I'm going to go get dinner with him. So that's my typical thing. It's like try to like use the travel to connect with friends and family.
Yeah, I it really depends. Like most of the time I'll do like social media work during the day, so I'll just try to find like a local coffee shop or somewhere near that's just, hey, I want to see one place today. Otherwise it can feel a little stressful with time and getting ready for the show, because I have like a 2 to 3 hour kind of prep time before the show and then kind of a wind down time. And so that eats up a big chunk of my day. And then afterwards, you know, kind of like Mark said, I'll try to, you know, connect or catch up with friends in the area after, you know, we've done our VIP and all kiss babies and shake hands and all that.
You did that in the right order with the kissing and the shaking.
Yeah, so shaking babies, kissing hands. and then on off days, I'll usually, you know, I don't know, longboard places, or Ben and I will try to find a jiu-jitsu thing sometimes, I don't know. It's just different.
I like to go out and tag bridges with the band's logo. Yeah, a little graffiti.
Good.
Did you do a whole YouTube page of that?
Well, no, who did it then?
Yeah, who did it? Yeah. You got a big brick wall back there. Yeah. That was sick. Got some paint.
It'd be much better than what we normally get around this area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of sleep, too. A lot of naps.
Yeah.
It's not every drive is equal in terms of the quality of roads and everything, so some nights are a little better than others in terms of that. A lot of caffeine. I've been trying to read a lot more, and similar to Johnny, I kind of have like a couple hours before the show I sort of try to dedicate to just thinking about the show and warming up and kind of just getting in a good mindset for that. So yeah, it's kind of a whole lot of waiting and then playing.
And then you also, I forgot to mention, we have Roadie Fridays. And so basically a Roadie Friday is whenever you have a day off the next day, like there's no show, that's what you call your Roadie Friday that night. So some Roadie Fridays get pretty crazy. It's very hard to sleep in the bus because people are like partying in the front lounge.
Sure.
Or, you know, if we have a late bus call, we'll go out and, you know, hit the town or do something like that.
You've got to mix that in so you don't go crazy when you're stuck in a bus together,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you are stuck in the bus together and you're doing all this, do you try to find time to do any kind of work on new music, or do you just save that for a different time?
For sure. I think in kind of the, at least for me, in the warming up process, I end up like, okay, I need to practice these exercises. And then I get sidetracked immediately and start writing music. So that, or, you know, doing like playthroughs or things that are still kind of promoting this current album and the new music now to kind of like knock that stuff out. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's just kind of like little free time here or there if inspiration strikes. You know, for me, it's usually if we have an off day and I'm in the hotel room and I have like my little beat machine or my laptop out, maybe an idea will come. It's just kind of here and there.
Cool. So let's talk about new music, because you guys kind of have a song that doing pretty well.
Yay.
Yeah.
We do? Sick.
Go team.
You don't say, huh? Don't, yeah, go team. Yeah, so this thing, I mean, what was it, about 4 months ago or so, you put If It Doesn't Hurt It Out?
Yeah, January. Yeah.
January,
yeah,
okay. So, yeah. So January comes out, and I think initially, correct me if I'm wrong, but initially it wasn't necessarily going to be a, hey, let's push this to radio, let's make this a thing, right?
Yeah, this is the time-old story or whatever the phrase is. Basically, the label is like, I don't know if it's going to be a single. And the whole time we're thinking, yes, yes, it is. This is, trust us, this is the first single.
We just wanted to go shh, 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 to the label. Like, it's a single. Like, you know, there's just times when you, and we're not right every time, to give credit to the label too. You know, This Is The Time was our first breakout single, and they called that one. You know, I got to give credit to them and Alan. We didn't think that was a single. We thought that was like a deeper album track. But there's times when we just know in our bones, we're like, come on, guys, like, it's right in front of you. It's like, right. Go to War was an example of that. When we wrote that, we gave it to them. We're like, this is the single. And they're like, we're not sure. And we're like, are you kidding me? And then they were like, write some more. And so we did like three more tracks on that album. And then Go to War ended up being the biggest single. We're like, told you so. So that's kind of how we felt with this one. We're like, we just feel it. We like know this is a single. Even Dan from Disturbed, the guitar player, like sent me a text. Because we were sharing it with some of our industry friends before. Yeah. And he's like, that's a banger. And so we're telling them, we just knew. And so it took some time. They eventually came around, and now everybody's happy.
That's the goal, always. Yeah. So I do want to go back to WrestleMania. How did that come together to get that song on as one of the theme songs for this year?
We had to wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Who did you put the SmackDown to get that on there? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear this story. Go on, Johnny. Let's
see how I don't know. That was the end of my creativity. I found out through text messages from friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what's funny. Typically with movie trailers or like with Go to War and Planet of the Apes, we had kind of no idea. I just got a cold call email, and it was like, hey, we'd love to put this on a trailer. And then before we know it, it's just there. Huh. So the same thing with WrestleMania. It's like, had no idea. I think there was an email to management saying it's like, maybe we'll use it. And then it's just all of a sudden up, no notification or anything, which is kind of cool.
I think Will was saying he approved it like 2 weeks past, and then we just started getting tagged in posts.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was like, I guess they used it.
Yeah.
We might use this, and then all of a sudden it becomes one of the main songs of people watching all the highlights. You're like, oh, hey, look, there we are.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So are you wrestling fans?
Used to be.
The
Attitude Era with like Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H and all that.
I was in the NWO era. Nice. You know, Sting. That was my dude.
Yeah.
One of my buddies is like a wrestler, and he's like, you know, working his way up in that world. And actually, a friend of mine, you know, Casey Catanzaro, you know, she was an American Ninja Warrior chick for a while. She got real famous from that, and then she crossed over to WWE. So I have some connections to that world, but it'd be cool to go to an event sometime. I think that'd be fun.
We have a great picture for 2018 Halloween, to where we all dressed up as WWE wrestlers. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We were playing Portland and we told all the other bands on the bill, we're like, okay, there's a dress code for this show. Everyone has to dress up as wrestlers, but you have to pick someone different. So every band did like a different theme. So one of the bands came out as sumo wrestlers, like in the sumo. Atreyu came out as sumo wrestlers. Was it My Ticket Home? Or
yeah, they were.
They
Lucha
came
Libre.
Out as like the Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah,
and then we came out as like 80s, 90s like classics. Like I was Ultimate Warrior. Mark was Roddy Piper.
Macho Man.
He was Macho Man.
Stone Cold.
And what was the other band that came out? Was it Palisades?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyway, it was hilarious. The pictures we got from that night were epic.
Yeah, priceless.
Halloween shows are always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so also at WrestleMania, Motionless and White performed there live to bring one of the wrestlers out, which was cool. So from what you have now, if you had a song, you're like, all right, this would be the song that we would play at a WrestleMania to bring someone down to the ring that would get them all hyped up. What's that song from the...
It would totally be Stuck. I think so. I think it's the heaviest song on the record. It's right. It'll be out this summer, but it's intense. It's got a banging riff right away. And I think a big line of the song is this is for the people who can't break through. So it's about the underdog and a total pump up jam.
There we go.
Well, I was going to say it's my time. Someone trying to get the belt.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. No one's heard it yet. So, but yeah, that song
they're
when it comes out.
You, like, what are you guys
we're talking like
about,
they know what we're talking about.
Just imagine. It's great.
I would say House on Sand, the song we just released recently, the bridge to that song with Eric from I Prevail when he does the tear it down part. I can just imagine someone calling, tear it down. He rips his shirt.
Yeah. I want to get a balsa wood bass.
Let's get some questions from out here. We'll start with Becky, who would love to follow up on that because that's her favorite song ever.
Okay, so I've been itching. That was going to be my question to start with because new music is my thing. Nice. You're already talking about your new song, but let's talk about the newest song because House on Sand is just is a fucking banger. It's amazing.
Thanks.
We actually saw I Prevail last night in Milwaukee, and how did that whole collaboration come about? I mean, you guys working with Eric from I Prevail, that song is amazing. I love it. You guys have to check it out if you haven't heard it. How did it come about?
We wrote that song in Nashville. We actually originally sparked the idea when we were working with Cody from Wage War, the guitar player who sings. So he and I both live in Nashville, and the guys came up and we had a writing session, and that song kind of sparked, and we're like, oh, this is a badass song. And then it developed, we finished the song, and then we're like, it'd be really cool if we got somebody on the second verse and, you know, maybe even the breakdown part. And we started thinking about heavier singers. And when we were in Europe, we played a show with Disturbed and I Prevail in Switzerland. And that was like the first time we'd ever really hung out with I Prevail or met them. And it was kind of like a mutual respect and like cool hang. And then we had an off day later that tour in Munich, Germany. And I'm sorry, we had a show and I Prevail had an off day. And so Eric came out with one of his boys and we ended up just having a great time after the show, drinking beers and shooting the shit. And we just really clicked with him. And so he kind of came to mind because we just got along so well and we liked how heavy his vocals were.
Yeah. And I'd sent him the record in regards to demos and it was in pieces, but that he was always attracted to that song. That was kind of his favorite. And he was like, If I can do anything, I would love to do that song. So then finally the stars aligned. He got into a studio and was able to, rip the second verse and the breakdown and the rest of the song. Sounds good.
Yeah. And we just actually flew him out to Austin because that was almost like our hometown show because we're from San Antonio right down the road. And we flew him out as like a special guest appearance. So he killed it. And it was like raining. It was like an amphitheater. It was really a cool moment.
Yeah, special.
So I'll follow up with that one then and say you did that collab. You've done other ones. Is there one out there in the world of rock, not in the world of rock, wherever? Like, man, I'd be cool to work with that person. Because we'll get a hold of them for you. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, nice.
I'm offering
you'll
that
make
right
it
now.
Happen?
Yeah, we'll make
that's
it happen.
That's good.
Yeah.
Probably lead singer, guitar player of Muse. I think that'd be a good one.
That was going to be my answer, too. Matthew Bellamy. Yeah.
Yeah, guitar player. And
let's just write a whole song with Muse. That'd be,
it'd be amazing. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Kanye.
I'm out.
Be surprised. So be surprised. Yeah. It's like this could go a lot of different places.
I mean, we just actually got one that was one that we were excited about. Maybe a little spoiler alert here, but David Draymond from Disturbed, he's singing on our next single that we're dropping. So
sweet.
Yeah, it's called Angel Song. So keep your eyes open for that soon.
Heard it here first. I don't know if it was first, but at least you heard it here.
Maybe. Right. I don't know. I don't remember saying it, so maybe.
There you go. Bam, you heard it here first. All right, who's next with the question?
This question actually won me the ticket, so I'm going to ask it now. So, my question on that was mine and my wife's favorite song of your guys. This has been Fade In, Fade Out, because we have small children. It just tugs up our heartstrings, right? So I was also wondering, like, what brought that song about, pretty much?
I started writing that song when my son was in utero a long time ago. And, I don't know, I just woke up in the middle of the night, got, like, my notes app out, and just this idea of the sort of the Crossfade Phoenix story kind of came to me, and the melody, too. And it took me, gosh, maybe a year and a half to kind of piece the song together, actually put music to it, and then to, like, get it in a displayable format to show the rest of the guys. And even then it slowly got together, and the final piece of the song to me was going to visit my parents, and I just hadn't seen them for a while. And I think we all go through that moment. The first line in the song is, you know, just the other day I looked at my father. It's the first time I saw he'd grown old, and it was just like, wow, Dad, you're old. And just the finite aspect of life. Well, you know, it's like you have your dad, and your dad always has his dad muscles, and he's always able to, you know, to beat you up, to push through, to teach you, and he's always the hero. And that to me was, yeah, it was that final piece of the song that really, like, told the story of passing of the torch, you know, from one generation to the next. And it was something that when you become a parent, you know, it's like, what you want to show to your kids, and then what you want to teach them, your legacy, what you want to leave them. That was just, you know, my idea concept for the song. And I know Dan and I wrote a lot of those lyrics together, and Johnny definitely pieced it all together and made it sound awesome for sure. And I mean, Ben as well, we all did. It was a big collaborative effort, and I'm very grateful that it's made its way into a lot of people's lives, and I hear a lot of stories how the song has helped them. And of course,
that was a very deep and poignant question. I have one as well. Have you ever stepped on anything sharp on stage? Yes.
Many things. I've gotten a tetanus shot because I had to get stepped on a rusty nail. I got this giant splinter about that big, maybe an inch and a half in my big toe, straight to the end of it. They had to freeze my toe. It was real weird. I had to go to some doctor in Boston, and he, like, froze my toe real quick to, like, dig it out, because it was so painful, like, just hit a nerve. And then I've gotten glass a few times.
Gotten stitches.
Stitches, yeah. I've gotten stitches a few times on fingers and feet stuff. Did I get stitches in feet?
I think you've gotten
fingers, no hands.
Like, when you were a kid, you always told us, like, you broke your head open like seven times or
something. Yeah. I got stitches and staples in my head like maybe seven times total, like, not exaggerating. I was a very active kid.
I mean, I get the barefoot look. Like, it's, you know, it's freeing and it's primal up there. You might want to put on some Crocs.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna roll with that one.
Save
the big toe. All right, who's got a better question than me asking about his feet?
I guess we'll go back to the deep part. A song that really resonates with me on a personal level is Jenny. Just because, you know, my sister, whatever. Where did that come from for you guys?
So that was about my sister. And at the time when I was, I guess we were talking about that song, my mom was dealing with like kind of the end of a long battle of cancer. And at that time, it was real difficult because my sister Jenna was kind of the almost like the story of the prodigal son kind of a thing. She was just getting into the wrong things, wrong crowd, getting into drugs, you know, just and it was at a time when my mom was like really worrying about her and just kind of and I was getting really angry at my sister because I was like, look, whatever you're going through, it pales in comparison to what mom's going through right now. So you just kind of need to get your shit together is kind of how I felt as a sibling. So there was a lot of anger and frustration, sadness and all that just kind of, excuse me, funneled into that song. And when writing those lyrics and we were finishing the song, it was kind of like the chorus was so raw and kind of blunt that I remember our manager being like, hey, maybe you should talk to your sister before we think about releasing this song. And I even was like having doubts about even releasing it at all. Like there was a chance that that song didn't even go out into the world ever, which is crazy to think back now because we didn't know it was going to be what it turned out to be and impact so many people's lives. Cause it felt almost too raw and it was like personal. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to come across, you know, like I'm bashing my sister or something, but it was honest. That's like exactly how I felt because it just got to such a bad point where it was like, you know, either get your shit together or don't, you know, this middle ground was just like torture. So that's, it was a lot of dark, frustrating stuff for years and years and years. And then, but you know, over time, it's kind of interesting to see how, as much as I couldn't save my sister and neither could my mom, at least it like saved a lot of other people. So that was cool.
You know, talking about these older songs here, and I mean, you guys have been doing this for almost 20 years. I mean, it's been a minute that you've been together with this. I mean, are you at that point now where like, you know, we had a sleep theory in here, you're giving those guys advice on what's next and how to handle this, but yet you're still also looking at, you know, I don't know, XYZ band that you guys grew up, you know, a Korn or whatever that's been there for 40 years. And you're kind of in the middle where you're giving advice, but you're still looking at some of those above you going, oh, this is how we now do this one as well. It's kind of a statement, but just a general general statement. But where you guys kind of feel like where you're at in that process of, again, giving advice, but also still getting it in this crazy music world.
No, you're absolutely right. And we're all grateful to kind of be at that spot because I can remember one thing we were just talking about 10 years ago, you know, being back here, just kind of kicking it off with This Is the Time and it kind of going well, and getting advice from, you know, bands like Chevelle or numerous of the bands that we ended up touring with. And I'm definitely a guy who loves to give back and hear those stories and hear where like Sleep Theory's at and how to, you know, help any band kind of coming up that's just starting out. And it's like, how do we do it? So it's cool to me to be able to offer any sort of solution or help that we can to further the music industry, to further, you know, in the name of rock for sure. So yeah, just real grateful.
Yeah, I remember getting advice when we were coming up from Elias from Nonpoint. And some of the best advice to this day that I got from really any band or singer. And I was just struggling to sing every night because I just hadn't, you know, it's one thing to record in a studio on one day, but to go night after night after night and keep it sustainable. And even right now, I'm dealing with some allergies at the moment, but you know, I do a lot of screaming and singing, and that's, you know, to have the range of the two is like a whole other challenge. So he was a real helpful person. He was teaching me all these little road tricks. Like, you know, he would even tell me like at some dive bar or whatever. He's like, you can still turn on the hot water in the back kitchen or whatever and put a towel over the sink and put your head in there, you know, and create like a little mini steam room. And then he was teaching me how to warm up properly and just like, I don't know, just like gave me amazing advice. I still remember.
Yeah. A lot of stuff too, just seeing older bands who have been doing it for a long time. You kind of just eventually catch on to little things without even really having a conversation with them. You kind of just notice like the habits and actions done by people that can sustain, you know, a long career, and you kind of start to see similarities and where you could implement some of those for your own routine. And a lot of that too is like outside of the show, just managing all the rest of the day and all the time and all that. And then also with the show, just like, you know, hey, this gear problem that we keep having with, you know, I noticed this other band's doing something similar, but it seems to work great. And so it's kind of being around those things, like just sort of peeking around, investigating over time. You kind of just pick up nuggets of information kind of just through that experience over time.
And then you get them and you pass them down to the next, and it just keeps
the
going.
Cycle continues.
So one big family.
You're right.
All right, who's next?
So first off, thanks guys for coming. Appreciate you taking our questions. So I'm going to kind of stick with the theme that everyone else has been asking about here, which is songs, but I'm going to jump a little further back. I was hoping to hear kind of about the inspiration behind the song Fat Kid from one of your earlier albums. I don't know. Take that's just back. One that I really liked.
Nice. Yeah, I guess that comes from my world. I was grew up a bit of a fat kid. And we actually used to kind of, back when we were, you know, just weekend warriors, we kind of had this funk alter ego that I would kind of lead, you know. It's just like stupid songs about my life, you know. And yeah, one of them was Fat Kid, and that song was so popular. There is a very funky version of it. I don't know if it's ever officially recorded, but on someone's phone it's out there. But yeah, it was just so popular live that we decided at the end of the day to cancel the we called them Black Tracks. We canceled that project and just took that one song out of it and made it into more of like a dance rock song. And yeah, that's where that came from. So I think losing weight's one of the hardest things to do in the world if you struggle with that. And so it's kind of cool and funny to have a song about that. But yeah.
Dude, I just got an idea when you said that. We should make like a 2024 version of Fat Kid just that's like heavy it. As shit.
It's not a bad idea. Or get Electric Cowboy on it. I think they could remix that thing
great
pretty
idea.
Well.
Great idea.
Yeah, that video would be awesome. Right. If nothing else. So. But yeah, you heard it here. Thanks for the inspiration.
That's
yeah.
the next collab.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, with being successful, you know, brothers and everything like that, not to dig too deep on a personal level, but like Go to War is like a song for me that just relates to some stuff like, if there's something in your life that you're willing to do anything, obviously you're going to go to war. You know, you're willing to go that far or that drastic. Is there anything, like, you don't have to share it or whatever, but is there anything in life that, like, you've ever lost or loved so much, but then you try to get it back? Like, what would be your advice in, like, trying to pursue that, or have you? And, I mean, obviously you're successful, but, I mean, what do you do during the dark times or like that to pull together?
Yeah. Guys, so even the song Go to War, like, when we were writing that, I was at this point at the beginning phases of what turned into a divorce. I was married in like my mid-20s, and basically it was a pretty good relationship for like 5 to 6 years. And then we got married right before we got signed and started touring the world. And so it was just one of those things where she thought she knew what she signed up for, but she didn't really. And she needed like a 9-to-5, someone who's going to be there day in and day out. And I was just like gone a lot. So it just was really difficult on the relationship. And then it turned into a kind of a struggle. And then basically I was dealing with all of these feelings of like, wow, like everything I had invested in and we just done all this is just kind of like feels like it's spiraling. And the more I try to fix it or make it better or whatever, it just seems to accelerate the spiral, right? So all that was going on internally and in the background. And we walked into a writing room in LA and Mark started playing this like you know, like kind of thing, and I was like, keep doing that. And we had just met this guy, David, and he's like, hey, nice to meet you, keep playing that. And it just like went, I was like, I'm feeling something, let's go. And like in 30 minutes that song was just like the bones of that song were like there, we just moved. And then and then that day I was like, oh, this one's gonna be a hit, I just could feel it. But from that, I think hopefully this touches the heart of your question. I'm not totally sure, but I don't know. So what I've been even learning lately in life is sometimes, like, when you try to like fix or change or control things in life, sometimes you get the opposite. And so what I've been learning is like, getting to a point internally where you don't need or want or desire. It's kind of a Buddhist perspective in a way. And it's weird, like when you get to that point internally, it's like everything you did desire shows up. It's weird. It's like once you get to the point where you no longer, you know, you're not in that state of mind, it's like you're just at peace and you're within yourself, like strong and whole, and then it's like the world comes to you.
Really excited to see you play tonight. We were here for the last show you were here for.
Awesome.
My question for all of you is, what is your favorite song to perform live?
Yeah, it changes all the time.
That was tough, yeah.
No, it's okay. And a lot of times it's right, yeah. It's always dependent on like our ear mix. And it's like how things are sounding, or it's like, oh, I sound good today. Oh yeah. Go me.
I like Angel's Song right now. Yeah. It's going to be our next single that comes out. And it's just like, it's one of those songs that's really easier to play because it's a little simpler and more groovy rather than complex. And so it's fun to play. And everybody seems to really move with it. Even if they hadn't heard the song, it just kind of, the audience picks up on it really quick. So it's just got a good vibe and feeling.
There's this new intro that we thought of yesterday that we kind of talked about for the song Tired of Winning. And like, we feel like it's at a good spot tonight now to kick off. Like, we started it yesterday and it was kind of like, okay, the song started. Whoops.
We'll see.
It's been a lot of fun. And in the middle of the song, it goes into sort of like the B section of the song called Ships in the Night. And we kind of inserted this little live show drum solo battle basically between Johnny and Ben. And that's something we've been, like, we used to do a drum solo a long time ago where we all play the drums and did this stuff and Johnny would play too. So it's something we're trying to get back to because we have two great drummers in the band. Johnny is a really great drummer, and it's nice to see Ben and Johnny go back and forth. So that's been a lot of fun for me lately.
Yeah, cool. Heck yeah. Yeah, I get to get out the old itch as a drummer, and then Ben gets to remind me how I haven't really played drums in 10 years.
That's right.
Stay in your place.
House on Sand's been pretty fun for me to play, just because it's newer. It's got that fresh new car smell. In terms of actually playing, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's just a nice tempo and everything drum-wise, so it feels good to play. But finishing when we're done playing Tired of Winning and Ships in the Night, that's like the best feeling internally. Just being like, thank God that's done. Because drum wise, that whole song is just probably the most challenging in the set. So it's nice to kind of check that off and be like, cool, smooth sailing from here.
Yeah, I feel like you just landed a big like handspring or something at the end of it. You're just like, oh, I did it.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff happening in that one. So it's nice to be on the other side of it.
And I'm digging House on Sand too, live. So it's fun to, it is challenging for me. I'm not like a very good metal bass player, and that song's pretty heavy. So there's a lot of cool stuff that I'm learning and getting comfortable with. But when songs like that come together live, it's just a really good feeling.
Just kind of a different questions, because I watched a few of like you guys' like SiriusXM live performances and stuff just to kind of see.
Yeah.
I noticed in some of the performances you do like this. I was just kind of like wondering what that is for. Like,
yeah. So I started, if you don't know, I started the band as a drummer in like seventh grade. And so I drummed for, I don't know, 8 years or something in the band. And then we had multiple singers I think Mark was a singer at one point. Dan was a singer at one point. Then we had like four or five others.
We failed.
And then I started singing, and we got drummers over the years until we met Ben. And then, yeah, so I always just instinctively like using my hands as like my musical outlet. So I just instinctively started kind of like hitting my throat, I think, in like a rehearsal one day. And Mark was like, hey, you should, you know, try to mess with that or make it cool. And we had seen this band, Fair to Midland, who's from Dallas, Texas, back in the day. And he used to like wiggle his throat left to right, like holding his throat. And he actually did it in a cool way. It was very strange, and it gave it this real odd vibrato. And so Mark mentioned, like, you know, yeah, you maybe should hit it. And I was like, ah, that's stupid. And then over time, I was like, okay, maybe I should try it, you know, because I could do things sound-wise that I couldn't really do just, like, with my actual voice. Yeah, that's the drummer in me just wanting to control it, you know.
So I guess we'll all find out tonight, but is the Scorpion still out there?
Not this tour.
Not this tour.
Okay. Yeah, not this tour.
Yeah, it's in the shop getting renovated for 2.0 version. Yeah,
Scorpion 2.0. And I haven't looked after when this tour is over. Are you guys hitting the festival scene?
There's a few.
Okay,
we're gonna hit most of the big ones next summer when the album's, you know, fully out and in full swing. Yeah.
But we will do Aftershock and Louder Than Life, so we are pumped for those.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are happy here.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about it for our time. I have one more. I feel like you're all going to say yes to this one, but I've been saying that tonight with Wage War, Nothing More, Veil of Mine, Sleep Theory is going to be the best show in the Quad Cities this year. Okay. You guys agree?
Definitely. Yes. We hesitated. No. We're like, what are the other shows?
Unless Muse is coming through. Incubus. No, I'm just
I believe you had the exact same reaction that Sleep 3 did. That was really funny.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, seriously.
Real confident.
Hopefully.
All four of you guys together, I mean, you know, we've had three of you here in town separately. Sleep 3, this will be their first time. But having seen all of you separately, I know it's all together. It's going to be a hell of a show. So, man, I appreciate you guys being here. Give it up again. Nothing more.
Thanks, guys.
Thank y'all.
Yeah.